So we're going to go straight into the Word of God. It's not going to be very long today, but we're going to go straight into the Word of God. But before we do, I'd like to say another word of prayer, because before we study Scripture, we must always just have, there's never too much prayer. So let's bow our heads and ask for God's Spirit to guide us. Father in heaven, Lord, we're so thankful again that we're here. Please, Father, we need your Spirit to guide us through your Word. And so we ask, Father, that you may send the Comforter to help guide us into all truth. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to tell you a story. When I was younger, this is probably about 10 to 15 years ago, I used to love playing video games. Now, I'm not encouraging all the young ones here to play video games. I used to spend hours and hours playing video games when I was younger. And my favorite video game console was none other than the Nintendo 64. That was my favorite video game console, the Nintendo 64. And I had a little brother, and my little brother and I, we would often play this video game console for hours and hours at a time. The one game that we used to play was a racing game that we would often have to go through different levels of tracks and actually try to beat the game. And we would spend hours and hours trying to beat this game. And so this game would allow us to race against one another, so we would try to beat one another, or it would allow us to race against the actual game itself to try to beat the game. So my brother and I, we would watch each other try to beat each level. And my brother and I, we would get to the very last level of this game. And it's been hours and hours since we've been playing this game. And we would get to the last level my brother was playing, and he was going around a turn, and it was this last turn to win the game. Last level. He goes at the very end, he turns, and I'm watching him. He's doing everything beautifully, and I watch it, and suddenly the game console freezes. Last level, last turn to win the game. My mouth was open. My brother's mouth was open. We're shocked. We've been sitting here playing for hours and hours this Nintendo 64 just to get to the last level to have it freeze on us. So we waited. We waited. 5 minutes seemed like eternity, and we started realizing that this game was going to stay frozen for the rest of the day. So we decided, we looked at each other, we knew exactly what we needed to do, but we didn't want to. We had to get up, we had to go to the video game console, and we had to press that dreaded reset button. Only if life could be so simple. When something goes wrong, what if the only thing that we had to do was find that reset button and start all over again? How many bad situations would be erased from time if we could have that one reset button? You see, the problem is that we do not have a reset button for life. And another thing about this reset button is that it denotes the fact that when you press this reset button, that everything is erased. Everything was gone previously. This is why my brother and I didn't want to press the reset button on the game console, because we knew that once we pressed it, everything before would be erased. So imagine, one day you wake up and you didn't have devotions. You didn't spend that quality time with God that morning. And so, you know, your day is a little off, right? And you go throughout your day is a little off, you didn't spend time with God that morning. And as you're going through the day, the stress starts to build up. Things get difficult throughout your day, and times get hard. And you wish, in the middle of that tough and stressful day, that you could just go back and restart the day all over again. I'm sure you guys have had that one time in your life or the other. Didn't honor your father during Thanksgiving, or your mother and father during Thanksgiving, and you wish or you prayed you did, but you didn't. and you prayed that you could restart your day. You spoke rudely to your spouse when you guys disagreed with one another, and you prayed that you didn't, and you prayed that you restarted the day. Maybe money was running a little low, and so you didn't give tithe, but you pray that you did, and you could just restart your day. And it's during this time that we pray that we could just reset, press the reset button, because the conviction sometimes is too hard to bear. Sometimes the conviction is too difficult to handle. And there are people, because they do not have this reset button in their life, they become depressed when they make a mistake. The conviction for them is too difficult. The conviction for them is too hard. And sometimes they turn away and they decide to walk away from Christ. Sometimes maybe when we have done a mistake and we wish we could just reset that mistake and have it erased from time, that we can't. And we realize that maybe God is a little mad at us. Maybe God is a little angry with us. And so we decide that we will allow God to cool down for a little bit when we make a mistake. We won't come to God because maybe God is angry with us and he will punish us for what we have done. Our scripture reading today was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. I have a question for you today. What requirement is set forth in this verse in order for a person to be a new creature? I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Come to Christ.
Come to Christ. Baptism. In this verse, it says, if anyone is in who? Christ. He is a new creature. So what requirement is set forth in Scripture in order to be a new creature? The person must be in Christ. So I have another question for you today. How can someone be a new creature if he does not first believe that he is in Christ? He cannot be. He can't. A person cannot be a new creature if he does not believe he is in Christ. That means that no matter the situation, no matter what you're going through, you must believe that you are in Christ in order to be a new creature. I like how the New King James Version puts it. 2 Corinthians 5:17, in the New King James Version, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." He is a new creation. This word creation means that God brings about something that was not previously there. This word creation means that God brings about something that was not previously there. I remember when I was in sixth grade, I was in a class where we had to design a toy wooden race car. And I remember building this toy wooden race car. The teacher, what he would do is he would give us a block of wood and he would give us all the tools. And what I did is I went to my own desk area and I didn't talk to anybody. I wanted to make the most aerodynamic car that I could make, because this toy car is going to race against all the other kids' toy cars that they are making. And so I go to my desk and I have all the tools ready and I start carving out of this block of wood a race car. And I make sure that I make it light, slender, aerodynamic, so that it can fly down the track smoothly and win the race against all the other cars. So the day before the race, the class before the race against all the other kids in class, I took out my race car. And as I was taking it out, I thought it was just the most beautiful creation I've ever made. And I shined the wheels, and then I put it on the racetrack. And in this racetrack, you have to pull back the string, and then it flies forward. I wanted to test my race car. So I put it on the track and I pulled back the string and then I let it fly. And it flew into two pieces. I broke my race car. I made it so thin and so light that it wasn't strong enough. And so it broke into two pieces and flew in different directions. I was sad. I went to my teacher and I said, "Teacher, I just broke my race car testing it. Can I make a new race car before tomorrow?" And he looks at me and he says, "Yes, you can make a new race car. The only problem is that we don't have any more blocks of wood for you to carve out a new race car." So the next day I couldn't race because I didn't have a block of wood to create my new race car. This is an important point. Because when we create something, we need material that is already in existence. But God does not need pre-existing matter in order for Him to create. King David prayed that He would create in him a clean heart when Nathan the prophet came to David telling him about his sin with Bathsheba. And in Psalm 51 verse 10, one of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible, when David is crying and he's praying because of his sin, in Psalm 51 verse 10, the Bible says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." You see, David prayed that God would create in him a clean heart. The word "create" in the Hebrew is bara li. Can you guys say that with me? Bara li. Bara is create. Li is in me. So David says, "Bara li, create in me a clean heart, O God." And this is an imperative. An imperative is like an exclamation point at the end of a sentence. It's not a suggestion. It's rather a command. It's a demand from God. David knows, and he is so desperate, that if he does not receive a new heart from God, he will be in ruins. So he is demanding that God makes in him a clean heart. And now, there's another word for create in the Bible. It's called asat. Can you say that with me? Asat. This word create, asat, create in the Bible. This is the Hebrew word asat for create in the Bible. This is used when man is creating. This is used when man is created, creating. But the word bara li is only used when God is creating and God is the subject, never when man is the subject. So what does this mean? This means that David's prayer to God, when he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," is asking God to do what only God can do and not man can do. Only God can create in me a clean heart, David knows. Not man can do that. So the question is, have you been trying to create in yourself a clean heart? Or have you been coming to God and asking Him to create a clean heart in you? The same word is used in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, where the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." This word "created" is bara. This is the same exact word that's used when David prays that God would create in him a clean heart. So in the same sense as creation, God comes into your life and creates in you something out of nothing. I don't know if you may have a bad temper this morning and you don't know what to do with it. Well, give it to God, because God can create something out of nothing in your life. Do you have no desire to wake up and study the Word of God or even pray to God? You have zero desire. Well, that is okay. Give it to God, because He can create something out of nothing in your life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This verse is best visualized in the parable of Jeremiah. Parable of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 through 6, "And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will show you my words. I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands, O house of Israel." So this is how the story goes. Jeremiah was sent to the potter's house by foot. Notice something very interesting about this, is that God never gives Jeremiah an address. He just tells Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. God stated this fact as if the potter was already well known in the area. All people need to know was the potter, and they knew where he lived. So Jeremiah, he arrives at the town where the potter lives. And he probably goes and asks a few residents of the place, hey, do you know where the potter lives? And they say, yes, we know where the potter lives. He's down the road, up the hill, right by that big house with the red door. And so Jeremiah goes off on his way down the road. And he sees a hill, and he looks at a house, and he sees a red door. I just want you to visualize this. Jeremiah goes to the house, and he knocks on the door. But there is no answer. So he knocks again. There is no answer. But he can hear something inside of the house, and he wonders what it is. So he opens the door, and behold, there is the potter making something at the wheel. The potter never gets up from his task of making something at the wheel. Jeremiah walks in and he sees him making something. And so Jeremiah walks in and the potter doesn't take his eyes off of the clay because he is making a wonderful and new creation. And he doesn't want to take his eyes off of it. And so Jeremiah walks in and he doesn't say anything to the potter. He just begins to look at what he's doing. And as Jeremiah is looking at the potter and he's making some vessel out of the clay, he realizes something unusual. He looks at the clay and there's something wrong with the clay. The clay is marred in the potter's hands. Something went wrong with this piece of clay. And so Jeremiah is pulling up the trash can. He's pulling up all the things where all of his trash cans, all of his dirty clay that he has, and he pulls it up and he thinks that the potter is going to throw this piece of clay away because it's marred in his hands. And so the potter looks at Jeremiah and he looks back down and he starts making something new from the clay that he already has. He doesn't throw the clay away. He keeps the clay and makes it into another vessel as seems fit for the potter to make. And this is an important point in the story, that even though you may not be all that you want to be in the potter's hands, God is not going to throw you away. He is not through with any of us yet, because he can still make something out of nothing. And that is what's special about God, is that God doesn't just press the reset button. He doesn't just start all over when we mess up. God fixes what's before him, and then we move forward with God. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But how can we become new if we still have our old nature? How can we become new if we still struggle? You see, when we become followers of Christ, it does not mean that our old nature is gone. In Romans 7, verse 18, Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but to perform that which is good I do not find." You see, Paul, in his own heart of hearts, struggled, even when he followed Christ. There was a struggle going on in Paul's mind, and then at the end of the chapter, he asked the question, "Who will deliver me?" So then what happens when we come to Christ, and behold, all things are new? Well, it means that we are not now controlled by our old nature. It doesn't mean that now we are controlled by our old nature. Now we have a choice to make. Christ does not set a reset button in our life, where when this button is pressed, our carnal nature goes away. Rather, we ask Him to come into our lives, and He takes the nothing that's there and makes it something for His grand purpose. God is not through with us yet. How do we become new? It is when that new nature that God has implanted in us, that He created Himself out of nothing, becomes the overruling power in our life. You see, the decisions that we make in our life day by day transforms us into the people that we are tomorrow. The decisions that we make in our life, day by day, transforms us into the people that we are tomorrow. When you leave church today and you make a decision, that decision will affect tomorrow, Sunday. And when you make a decision Sunday, that decision will affect Monday. And every day you make a decision, week by week, year by year, you start transforming who you are as a person. I want to tell you a story about a tribal chief and his son. There was a tribal chief and his son, and they were sitting by the fire, warming their hands, and all the tribe was there surrounding them. And the tribal chief wanted to tell a story to his son. So he decided that he was going to take his son away from the fire, and that he was going to just talk one-on-one with his son. And so he takes his son away, and his son is so delighted that his father is going to talk to him, and his father wanted to teach his son an important lesson in life. And so he goes to his son, and he says, "Son, there is an important lesson that I want to teach you. And I want to teach you an important lesson about life, so listen up." And so the son is listening very intently, and the father says to him, "Son, there are two wolves living inside of you. There is a good wolf and a bad wolf." And so the son is looking at his father and he says, "Father, a good wolf and a bad wolf?" And he's kind of scared because he's young and he doesn't understand. And so the father looks at his son and says, "Yes, son, there's a good wolf and a bad wolf living inside of you. And one day, one of these two wolves are going to come out of you." And so the son now is looking at his father and he's kind of distressed. "There's two wolves living inside of me. There's a good one and a bad one. And my father says that one day, one of these two wolves will come out of me." So the son scratches his head and he's in distress and he asks his father, "Father, how do I know which wolf will come out of me?" And then the father looks at his son and he says, "Son, it's the wolf that you will keep feeding that will come out of you. The wolf that you will keep feeding will keep getting stronger and stronger and one day will devour the other wolf. And that's the wolf that will come out of you." What does this story mean to us? This story means the things that we concentrate on day by day, the things that we pay attention to day by day, the bad habits or the good habits that we are feeding day by day becomes the controlling power in our life. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When we become a new creation, we have to start thinking on things above, not on things below. We must start dwelling our minds on righteousness. We need to stop dwelling our minds on defeat and start thinking about victory. We must believe, even when we mess up, that we are in Christ in order to know that we are a new creation. And when the devil comes and says, you are nothing, you say, I am nothing, but God can make something out of this nothing. God can take you to where he wants you to be. God is good this morning, amen, and all the time. I want to appeal to you today that as you leave this place, there may be some here who heard this message and have said, you know, I heard this message and it's been tough for me because I haven't believed I was in Christ. I believed I was a new creation before ever believing I was in Christ, because when I mess up, I always want to go away from God. I don't want to come to God when I mess up. And that's okay. Because now you know that you can come to God in any time, any point of the day, no matter the conviction. God wants to draw you closer with his conviction. It's the devil's purpose to draw you away with his conviction. So you want to say, you know, this week, I want to draw closer to God, no matter the situation. I want to believe I am in Christ. I want God to make something out of nothing in my life. If you want to say that, I want you to raise your right hand with me today as we bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, you see the raised hands. Father, we ask that you come into our life and that you make something out of nothing. Continue to guide us. Continue to be with us. And continue to shape us and mold us into the people that you want us to be, that we may glorify you here on earth. For we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.